All right, Luke 19, let's go there. All right, last week we had compel them. Before that, we had the power of your testimony. Now we have something called make haste. So turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, if you're there, and please stand for the reading of God's word. I'll read tonight, and you can just follow along in Luke 19, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. I did reference this passage in one of the sermons on Sunday. Don't ask me which one, because Sunday all runs together. But it was in one of them, I know that. But here we are, talking about this man Zacchaeus. Here in verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Now, I like to tell you definitions of words because I think knowing the definitions of words are important. All right? And I do not take for granted that you already know the definition of the word. All right? Because, listen, I understand just the wonderful job the public school system does in teaching people the definitions of words, okay? People are so knowledgeable about the definitions of words today, they're not even sure if what a male and what a female is. So that's how confident I am in their ability to do that, all right? Which is absolutely less than zero. Okay, now, haste. What is haste? Haste is the state of being urged, all right, or pressed by business. Okay, in the dictionary, it includes that little phrase there, being pressed or urged. We understand that, right? We think of being haste, or sometimes people may say, you know, don't do something hastily, right? But this is being urged or pressed by business. Well, that changes the game, doesn't it? It does to me. Okay, because there's something to be done. It is about business. Didn't Jesus say, "I am about my Father's business"? Ah, yes. Ah, so guess what? We're in the Father's business. That's what we're doing, right? Isn't that what believers are supposed to be doing? We're in his business, right? And what is his business? To seek and to save that which was lost. That's what Jesus said he was here to do. Was he not? Absolutely. And so it continues to say about the definition. It adds another word. It adds an urgency. There's an urgency, right? We're supposed to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's an urgency. Well, life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. You know, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring forth. All of these things. Didn't Jesus kind of put into his disciples the sense that there was an urgency about the business that they were supposed to do and accomplish? Absolutely. So when Zacchaeus was up there in the tree and Jesus stopped by and he looked up at him and he said, "Make haste. Put some urgency, or I'm pressing you to do some business." He said, "Come down. For today I must abide at thy house." And it says, "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." You see, that's something we need to do in our lives. We need to make haste and come down and make ready to receive him joyfully. And God wants us to make haste. Another sense of the word that God often uses in the Bible is something called diligence. Diligence. We are supposed to do things with some productivity behind it. Right? Doesn't God want us to produce fruit? And doesn't He want us to do it abundantly? Yeah, so all of these things go together to kind of paint the picture that the Christian life is not just some lazy, slowly moving around and, oh, just floating from here to there kind of life. No, no, no. There's supposed to be some business. There's supposed to be some urgency. There's supposed to be some diligence. There's supposed to be some productivity associated with these things. These things of the Christian life that we have to live. It's not just happenstance. It's not just, oh, well, if we get to it, we get to it. And if we don't, we don't. And, oh, it'll be okay. We'll get to it tomorrow. Or we'll do it the next day. And we'll do it the next day. No, let's do it today. Because now is the accepted time, right? Yes. People need to be saved today. Churches need to be filled today. The Lord's work needs to be done today. Zacchaeus was told that Jesus was coming today. Now, I don't know if Zacchaeus was married or not. Okay? But, I mean, hey, honey, I'm home. Oh, by the way, Jesus is right behind me. He's coming in to visit. What? Yeah, but make haste. Get this business accomplished today. Now, to kind of help us kind of organize this thought that we have about making haste and being pressed or urged by business and urgent business that is out there. Let me say to you this, that as far as the business of Christ is concerned and our haste in getting it done, people are looking for the Savior. They are. People are looking for the Savior. You know, not everybody's looking for Jesus, obviously. We understand that. But there are people who are looking who do want to be saved. And we need to go find them. People are looking. In Acts chapter 30 and verse 31, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. We know this is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and how the Holy Spirit kind of guided and directed him down to that very place and showed him that chariot coming by and said, "Go over there. Go get him." And Philip just said, "Okay, yeah, I'll get to him in just a minute. I need to get a drink of water and I need to, see if I got any crackers in here that I can snack on. My favorite TV show is coming on and I'll get to him after that. Or I got to go to work, I'll do it after work." Or no, that wasn't the time for that. He ran to meet the chariot so that he could get the business of God taken care of. Because someone was looking for Jesus. He was. Was this man looking for him? Yeah, he said, "No, I'm reading about this guy and he did these things." And we know that he was reading out of Isaiah 53. Talking about Jesus. Who is this person? Who is it? "Well, let me tell you who he is," Philip says. Well, there was something to be done. And it needed to be done with haste. If Philip would have taken his time and taken his ease at it, would the job have gotten done? No, because that chariot was moving. It was going down to Ethiopia. He wasn't going to have that opportunity again. How many times has an opportunity slipped through our fingers because we did not make haste to get the business completed? You see, people are looking for Jesus. In John chapter 1, in verse 35, it says, "And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, saith unto them, 'What seek ye?' And they said unto him, 'Rabbi,' which is to be interpreted, 'Master,' 'where dwellest thou?' And he saith unto them, 'Come and see.' And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Was Andrew looking for Jesus? He was. Did he find him? He did. He did. And Jesus said, What are you looking for? Looking for Jesus. Have you seen him? Yeah. And then what did he do? Went and got his brother. Brought him to Jesus. You see, I think Andrew made haste. I think Andrew did this with a sense of urgency. Being pressed by the business that was at hand. That they had found the Messiah. They had found the Christ. The one they had been looking for. Remember, we talked about the woman at the well. I don't think she was necessarily looking for Jesus that day. But she found him. Yeah. Jesus was looking for her. I must needs go through Samaria. You know what? People are looking. But Jesus is looking too. You know, there are people that Jesus wants you to influence. And he sends them across your path each and every day. Hey, have you ever gotten a wrong phone number? You know, a call comes in. It's the wrong number. And they say, Hi, is so-and-so there? Now, I know that I just offended about 500 million people. I opened a flip phone, okay? There you go. That's how it works. Okay? See that? All right. And you get a phone call, right? And you're irritated because it's a wrong number. But is it? Huh? Is so-and-so there? Oh, no, not so-and-so, no. But hey, since you called, who died today? No, for sure you go to heaven. Click. But at least you asked him. Why not? Anybody knock on your door? Hi there, I've been in jail for 10 years and I'm selling magazines now to, you know, make up for the harm I've done. You guys seen those people, you know, whatever. Trying to get my life back. And maybe they are. And you know what? No, I don't really need any magazines, but, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. But by the way, you ever get a chance to meet up with Jesus? Why is it a wrong number? Why is it that's not the right address or, Yes, it is the right address. You came to the right place. Because here you're going to find Jesus. Because he's looking for you. Though you may not be looking for him. You see, people are looking for Jesus. Remember in Acts chapter 17, Paul was separated from his companions. He went down to Athens, right? He was there for a while. And what did he notice? He noticed that the Athenians were looking for God. They had all kinds of gods. And they even had one that said, to the unknown God. Right? Because they didn't want to offend any gods that they might find. Because they were looking for anyone that they could find. Everywhere that they went and conquered, they brought back the gods of the people they conquered. And because they wanted to know God. They wanted to see who God was. And Paul said, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Yeah. Hey, do you know there's a lot of people in this world ignorantly worshiping the unknown God? Oh, how many people have you met? Oh yeah, I believe in God. Oh really? Oh yeah, I go to this church or I go to that church. Or I'm part of this religion. Or I'm part of that religion. Well yeah, but if you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Well, maybe. Well, I think so. Well, I've been baptized, or I'm a member of this church, or my dad's a pastor, my grandpa's a pastor, or this or that, or whatever. Yeah, but have you been born again? Well, I don't know. You see, there's all kinds of people ignorantly worshiping God. We are what's called living in a God-fearing nation, right? A Christian nation. Well, not so much anymore, huh? Ignorantly. But you know what? I think some people are looking for God. You know what Paul said? Paul said that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Interesting statement, isn't it? You know, there are people kind of probing and searching to see if there really is a true God. And all they need is someone to come up and tell them about Jesus. Give them a gospel tract. Hand them something or say, just maybe just poke them a little bit and say, if you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Or maybe they need someone to tell them their testimony of how Jesus saved them. Or maybe they need to be compelled to come to church. Or compelled to search the scriptures and to see if these things are true or not. You see, people are looking for Jesus. And I wonder, are you looking for them? Are you looking for them? Or do you even care that there are lost people out there that need Jesus? Do we really care? Are we really looking for someone? How often do we even think about that and let that cross our minds? You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Well, that's not a suggestion, ladies and gentlemen. That's a command. We're supposed to be witnesses to Him. He says, we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, that's something we're supposed to be looking for some. We sure are. You know, Jesus is calling people. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Remember, I already told you, Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. In John 4, 34 through 38, it said, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, to finish his work. See not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. He said, hey, these fields are ready already. They're already ready. They're ready for you, and you need to lift up your eyes and look. Hey, if people are looking for Jesus, we should be looking for them. How do we do that? Hi there. My name's Eric. I'm the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church here in Wiley. Just wanted to get out and visit folks in the area. Wanted to know if you had a church home that you get to go to. Well, no? Well, then maybe you can come by. Or yes? Well, great. Well, maybe you still can come visit sometime. But before I go, if you die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, yes, I would. No, I wouldn't. And you continue to talk to them about the Lord. If they're saved, great. If they're not, they need to be. And there needs to be some urgency about the work that we're doing. We need to be actively looking for these people. Because there are people out there who are looking for Him. And they have no idea where to look. The devil has this world so confused. They don't even know where to look for Jesus. They just know they need something. How many of you have ever met somebody that says, I just know I need something. Something different. They don't even know what it is. And we do. We know exactly what it is. You know, there's a hole inside of every single human being that is the perfect shape of Jesus. Yeah, and He's the only thing that can fill it. And we know that. We have the truth. So we should be looking for them with these little pieces of Jesus and just plugging them into people and just making them whole. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be looking for them. If we're going to be looking for people, that means we need to get out and get it done. We have some business to accomplish. Don't forget what it said. It says a state of being urged or pressed by business. I have something to do. Hey, people that are making haste, right? They're hard to catch up with, aren't they? Because they've got something to get done. And I tell you this, over at Trinity Baptist Church, I'm hard to keep up with. I am, because I have too much to do and not enough time to do it. Yeah. I had, I guess you could call it an epiphany or whatever you want to call it about myself one time. One time I said, Brother Combs is always somewhere, but he's never anywhere. Yeah, because Brother Smith one time chased me all the way around the church property one time. I said, after I got back to my office, he said, where have you been? I said, well, I've been here, here, and here. He goes, oh, I went there, and to you, but you weren't there. I said, well, you just missed me. I said, next time, just call me. I'll answer my phone. You know, I've got something to do. I've got something to accomplish. That's how it should be about the Lord's work that we have to do. We are to make haste. Jesus commanded Zacchaeus to make haste and come down. We need to get out there. We need to launch out into the deep like Jesus told his disciples, right? Going and fishing for men. We got to go where the people are. We got to get out there and get out there and find the people. What happened to the church in the book of Acts? They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, right? And they began to preach, and 3,000 people got saved, and 5,000 people got saved, and 8,000 in multiplied multitudes. They stopped counting. But what? That wasn't good enough, was it? What did Jesus say in Acts chapter 1? You're going to be witnesses where? Jerusalem. That's great. But then to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. So they were doing the Jerusalem thing. The church in Jerusalem was growing. But what wasn't happening? Yeah. So what did Jesus do? What did God do? He sent Paul in, or Saul of Tarsus in there, didn't he? To kind of break things up. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. Now, well, listen, doesn't stop there. This persecution didn't just break up the church and they just scattered. They ran for their lives, right? And then they cowered down and hunkered down and in this country, in this country, in this country, in this country, in this country. No, no, no. It says they were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the word. Everywhere they went, they were preaching the word of God. Everywhere they went, they were giving out the business that they had to give out. They were doing what they were commanded to do. They were being witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Hey, in a week's time, how many different places do you go? How many different places are you scattered abroad? One? Two? 10? 15? 20? 30? I don't know. Maybe you're a homebody. Maybe you just stay home all the time. I don't know. That's fine. But maybe you go out and get your hair done. Ladies, you too. Oh, I got some of you on that one. Okay. A few smiles are nice. Okay? It's okay. It's okay. All right, now. You got to feel that urge to get a cheeseburger or something somewhere, don't you? Or whatever. Grocery shopping. Go to the bank. You know, go fill gas in your vehicle. Go to work. Some people go to work, right? Stop at the food truck or whatever. Or go here, go there, right? I don't know. What else do you? What else do people do? I'm too busy usually to do anything else. Sometimes I'll go down to the feed store and get some feed for my chickens and things like that. Talk to my neighbors. Yeah. I don't know, what, 10, 20, 30 places that we're scattered abroad? Are we just scattered abroad? Are we scattered abroad preaching the word? Just asking. Is there any haste to the business that's pressing you? What business is that? Is it the business of the Lord? We need to make haste. We need to be available. You know, one of the greatest attributes a Christian can have is availability. Yeah. Here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll go. You know what? Are you an I'll go, I'll do it Christian? You know, Philip was in the middle of a revival. He was in the middle of a revival. And the Holy Spirit caught him up and said, no, I want you to go down here and talk to this Ethiopian. What? Me? Why? What? Okay. He went. He was available. Our greatest attribute many times is availability. You know, God wants us to be looking for those that are looking for Him. That's His business. Didn't it say that Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who He was? And who found Him? Jesus did. Hey, does Jesus want to be found by people? Yes. Okay? He's really bad at hide and seek. Right? Because He wants to be found. Yeah. Yeah, He wouldn't be good to play hide and seek with. Jesus, oh, here I am. Jesus, here I am. He wouldn't stay hidden, would He? No. They're looking. He wants us to go look for them so that He can be found. Well, go over to Acts. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've already been in Acts. What was the one thing, while we're turning there to 1 Thessalonians, what was the one thing that made all that stuff in Acts ignite? They were in one accord in one place, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And it took off just like that, didn't it? And here we are in our lives. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. How are we going to be successful in this making haste business? By being filled with the Spirit of God. How did Philip know to go meet that eunuch? He was filled with the Spirit of God. You know what? How did these apostles know to go where they went? How did Paul know that this vision from the man from Macedonia would come and take them to that place? He was filled with the Spirit of God. Anything that we're going to do that's worth doing, that's worth making haste over, has got to be done in the Spirit of God. If it's done in the flesh, it won't stand. If it's done in the Spirit, it will. We've got to do things with the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. We know that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We know that when they were in the upper room, they gathered together and they prayed, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's Acts 4:31. That's the kind of haste experience that I want to have. Hey, listen, we can't do this on our own. We can't do this in the flesh. We've got to do it in the Spirit. But see, there has to be a sense of urgency. It needs to be done today. And tomorrow, it needs to be done tomorrow. And the next day needs to be done the next day. Because that's when it needs to be done, is an urgency. There's a pressing of the business that has to be accomplished that day. You see, I'll use this soul winning illustration. A friend of mine was out soul winning. There's this kind of a rundown home, and they walked up, and there was some dogs barking and things, and they knocked on the door, and it was kind of dark in the home and such, and this person cracked open the door. Barely see anybody looking through, and kind of a gruff, very gruffly, they said, "Well, what do you want?" "Well, I'm out from Trinity Baptist Church, and just want to give you a gospel track and things." And he said, "Just a minute." Close the door, and the man waited there for what seemed like a long time. Finally, the door opened, and the guy said, come on in." Now, kind of nervous there, aren't you? What's going on here? But to make a long story short, basically what had happened is that man, before that knock on the door, was sitting in his bedroom with a pistol in his mouth, ready to blow his brains out. And basically had the thought, "There's a God in heaven. Where are you?" And he said, "I opened that door, and there you were, standing there with the gospel for me." That had to be done that day. That had to be done at that very hour. Otherwise, that man would have gone to hell. There was no other time to do it. There was no other one to do it. It was for that man to go by that house at that time for that purpose. You see how important this is? Was that man looking for Jesus? He was looking for something. Did God want to be found in him? Sure did. That man got saved. You know what? It's real, folks. There are hundreds and thousands of stories I could tell. But I think that Jesus says it best, if you just listen, when Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Make haste, come down, for today." Today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next year. Not when you're ready. Not when you get everything in order. But now. There's a pressing business there for us to accomplish.